Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio for this Tuesday, March the 30th. Hope you're having a great day. So far, so much to discuss and talk about, and joining me on our panel today is Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be on today.
Brad Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Thank you for asking. Let me ask you this, Ray. Keep Believing Ministries, which is your ministry, what you founded and you're the president of. What are you guys doing this week for Holy Week?
You know, one of the things our ministry does is to provide resources for churches and pastors in America and around the world. And if you go to keepbelieving.com right now, at the very top of our website, it says Easter Resources. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We've put together a page with 60 Good Friday Easter messages, links to four different Lenten devotionals, and then a section with audio messages about Good Friday and Easter, including a lot of them that I have taped for American Family Radio over the years. And then at the bottom, we've got a China team that is taking my material, translating it into Mandarin, and putting it on websites in China. And so they've taken my Lenten devotional series called Miracle Road, translated into Mandarin, and it's there in audio and in print format. So just go to keepbelieving.com if you're looking for some good Easter-related material, either for your own devotionals or maybe something looking for a message for this weekend. Come to keepbelieving.com, top of the page. It's right there, and it's free.
You have a pretty good following in China, don't you?
Yeah, we do. God has opened the doors. One of those things, Tim, where you just find a door and you go through it. And as you know, the government over there is cracking down so much on the church in China. But one door that is currently open, for instance, I've been there before and I've preached. I don't know that I could do that right now. Well, with the COVID, I know I couldn't do it because of the travel restrictions. But as of the moment, the internet door is open. So all these messages and all the devotions in Mandarin, it is unblocked. It's available for Christians all over the country.
So your website is available in China?
Yes.
Wow.
And in fact, the link to the Keep Believing Mandarin website, it's on that page of Easter resources. You go to the bottom, you click on Miracle Road, and it pops up in Mandarin. So if you don't know Mandarin, you're going to go, what? But there's a little box at the top that says, do you want this translated into English? Click that box and boom, it goes right from Mandarin to English so you can see what we have.
Well, praise the Lord that you're still able to do ministry there in China, and may that continue because as you say, China's cracking down in so many ways on religion in general, Christianity specifically, and so we'll pray that you continue to have an open door there. All right, so much to talk about today. We thank you for joining us. Walker, if folks want to join us on the internet, what can they do?
Well, we have our app, our AFR app. It's an excellent resource, and you can listen live to shows like Today's Issues, and you can also catch past shows, otherwise known as podcasts, there on our AFR app on your mobile device. And we're also on the World Wide Web, live streaming the show on Facebook and YouTube. Just make sure you type in Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube, and you can watch the live stream there.
Hey, before we jump into the hard news of the day, do you guys pay attention to March Madness at all?
A little
Walker?
Bit.
Fred? No, Fred. March Madness for you is hockey, right?
That's right.
When it's football season, Fred cares about hockey. When it's baseball season, Fred's worried about hockey. I understand as a Canadian.
Yes.
But anyway, Ray, you've probably been watching some, hadn't you?
You bet. And there are a couple of good games over the weekend. I was pulling for Loyola of Chicago, and then that Oral Roberts, you know. Yeah. They made a good run at it, but
Oral Roberts lost on the last second shot to Arkansas.
Yeah.
And then Arkansas lost to Baylor last night. But I was looking, you know, unless our school is one of the elite schools in a particular sport, the rest of us pull for the Cinderella, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
We pull for the underdog. And I know we have a lot of Arkansas fans who were disappointed last night, but you got to be happy for Baylor. They reached the men's Final Four for the first time since 1950.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And it wasn't even the Final Four then. I think I got this right. Since 1950, the Baylor Bears have reached the I don't know what it was called at that time, but it's, you know, the final.
Right. It was a smaller tournament back then.
And then, of course, the Houston Cougars. We have a lot of listeners in Houston. The Houston Cougars also made it for the first time in 37 years. So Texas is well representative in the men's Final Four. Houston and Baylor. And then we got two more games tonight.
Can anybody beat Gonzaga? They're undefeated, Tim.
Baylor can. Maybe Michigan.
Yeah, that Michigan team is good. I watched them the other day.
But Michigan, let's see, Michigan plays tonight, right?
Right, against UCLA.
Against UCLA. And then what's the other game?
Gonzaga, USC.
Gonzaga versus, it really doesn't matter. Right?
Right. They're really good, Tim. They are really good. They're really good.
The headband teams, what I call them.
Yeah.
That's the men's side. The ladies' side, I don't have time to go into today, but they've got some great basketball going on as well. All right, so much to talk about. Where do we get started, Fred?
Well, I think everybody's heard of the Chamber of Commerce, but now there is a new organization out there. It has a similar sounding name. It's the Chamber of Progress, all right? Just announced yesterday. And you may say, well, why is this big news? Well, I'm going to tell you why. This Chamber of Progress is made up of the big tech people, some of them former, some of them present. One of the chief spokesmen is Adam Kosovich. He's a veteran Democratic politics and of the tech industry. In fact, he led Google's U.S. public policy team. So right away, this organization kind of married to the Democratic Party in their priorities. Keep listening. Also, backing this new group, according to this press release that came out yesterday, Facebook, Google, Twitter, and Amazon. And their number one priority, according to this press release yesterday, is to ensure that H.R. 1, that is the huge, huge bill that both the Senate and House are working, H.R. 1, the House, S1 in the Senate, which would transform control of our elections completely to the federal government. It is disastrous. Now you have these big tech people. That is their number one priority of this new group. It's called the Chamber of Progress, backed by these major, major high-tech, like I say, Google, Twitter, Amazon, Facebook. Remember, they're the heads of these, Facebook, Google, and Twitter. They've been before House?
They're all left-wing.
All left-wing. Now, they've been denying that they're partial. They're politically, you know. They say they're politically impartial. That is not true. This morning on Fox and Friends, a biotech entrepreneur by the name of Vivek Ramaswamy was on. Now, he knows what these guys are all about, these high-tech guys are all about, and their political agenda. Cut number two.
The largest tech companies in the world have hired an ex-Google public policy director to be able to advance their objectives. That's just classic crony capitalism. That's lobbying. That's using government as an instrument. But now they have a new tool in their toolkit, which is blowing woke smoke to cover up exactly what's happening so that they actually deceive the public about the essence of what's really happening. And that's the modern version, is using these progressive values to dress up self-interest as a way of capturing government. That's what these guys are doing.
So there's the warning right there, folks.
It's called the Chamber of Progress.
Yes. Chamber of Progress. And maybe we can put this, their news release came out yesterday on PR Newswire. You can read this for yourself, folks. We're not exaggerating here. This is big tech getting together, and they're admitting their political agenda is all in with the current Democratic Party.
Walker, are there any alternative? You know, you can't escape everything.
Right.
And you can't boycott the world.
Right.
But still, are there alternatives to some of these? Name names, Fred. Who's behind this now?
With
money.
Okay. Amazon.
Uh-huh.
Facebook, Google, Twitter, and there were some others. There was
the usual suspects.
DoorDash, Get Around, you name it.
Anyway.
There are competitors to certain industries. There is no Amazon competitor
at
this point. But when you get into social media platforms, there is Parler, there is Gab.com, there's a video streaming site called Rumble.com. It's like a YouTube alternative. There are conservative alternatives out there that are actually gaining a lot of traffic. So yes, there are,
and they may not. They may not even be quote conservative, but they're just neutral.
Neutral,
right?
They're just neutral.
They just allow.
Yeah, they're for freedom of speech and freedom of access, and they don't get into far left politics. What about Google? Don't they have like 90% of the market in terms of searches?
Yeah, you have a DuckDuckGo that's an alternative.
Right.
You have Bing.com and a few others. But this is, I think you really see people flocking to the alternatives. And even when you get into news services, we have OneNewsNow.com here under the umbrella of American Family Radio.
Yeah.
There's Breitbart. There's the Daily Wire, the Daily Signal. There are conservative alternatives.
Yeah.
And that's, I think people are flocking to those.
Sometime in the future, I'd like to go into, I know we all have our guesses, but why these far left, why these big tech companies are far left, because why they support those kinds of politics, because that seems to go against their self-interest, long term, at least, because, and we can explore that at another date. Right now, joining us is Dr. Frank Turek. Frank joins us every Tuesday, this time that he's available. He's the host of Cross Examined, heard Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Central Time on AFR and Sundays at 4 Central Time in the afternoon on American Family Radio, his show Cross Examined, and one of the more popular programs here, especially on the weekends on American Family Radio. Frank, good morning to you, brother.
Gentlemen, how are you?
We appreciate being called gentlemen. That's nice of you.
Are you guys making progress? I noticed that the thing that Fred read, they called it what? The Chamber of Progress?
Chamber of Progress. Yeah. So like a ride at Disney World, doesn't it?
They're progressing toward what? What's their standard? That's what I want to know.
Let me ask you, take a guess at what question I just had. Why do you think these big, large tech companies have left-wing politics? Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's more on the sexual side than necessarily the financial side.
What do you mean by that? I don't know.
Well, they want equity for everybody in terms of what they do sexually. They think all sexual behaviors at this point are just equal and should be accepted as such. But I don't think necessarily they'd want the government to take over their businesses, because that's what socialism is. It takes over their businesses. You know, they would be owned by the government. I'm not sure they're for that. So it is... I think it's just buying into what we talked about before, Tim, about the oppressor and the oppressees, you know, the people who are oppressed and the people who are oppressors. I think it's more along that regard or that line that causes them to come to these conclusions that they're for the Chamber of Progress. And if you look at what the progress is, in many ways, it would be progress for them on the sexual issues, but it wouldn't be progress for them on the financial issues. That's the odd thing.
Yeah, that's what that's what I don't understand, because, you know, you're talking about they when you push in left-wing politics and you're a big tech company, and then you look over there and see who's coming after you, and that would be Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think, and we talk about this often, actually, with Frank most weeks, but the spiritual aspect here is that many of the people in charge of these companies are dominated by darkness. They're unbelievers. The world, the here and now is it. This is what they have. And they view themselves as being a part of this utopia, this big government.
Secular
utopia where the Christian Neanderthals don't have a say. Mm-hmm. They're in charge. Silicon Valley and D.C. intertwined. The ruling class runs everything. They control who gets to say what. Mm-hmm. And their
agenda.
So there's
a spiritual aspect to this.
Yeah, you think? Yeah. Spiritual and political.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they sort of merge. Mm-hmm. Okay, Frank, question for today is, we talk here a lot about the cancel culture. My question to you is, what would Jesus say about cancel culture, or does the Bible speak to this at all?
Well, I don't think Jesus wants to cancel people. I think he came to cancel our sin. And so, I mean, it's ironic that at least one translation of Colossians chapter 2 actually uses the word canceled. It says, "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us in all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. He set it aside, nailing it to the cross." So Jesus has canceled our sin. He doesn't want to cancel people. Same thing basically is said in Acts 3, where it says, "Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." They're canceled. And so I don't think Jesus wants to cancel people. He wants to cancel our sin. And, I Tim, to be honest with you, sometimes I have to fight the cancel culture impulse in me. Because when I hear people say things, I want to say, "You shouldn't be able to say that. You shouldn't be able to work again." And that's exactly what we shouldn't be for, right? I mean, yes, we have to oppose ideas that are counterproductive or that are against God's will. We have to oppose behaviors that are counterproductive, destructive, and against God's will. But we want to destroy the ideas, not the person. You know, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, he said, "We demolish arguments and take every thought captive to Christ." We want to offer people grace and forgiveness. We don't want to make it so they could never work again. We just want to say we oppose your ideas, mm-hmm. but we still respect your ability to say it. We oppose your behaviors, but we still respect your ability to try and argue for those behaviors in the public square. But we are going to oppose them, but we don't oppose you. We want you to have the same grace and forgiveness that we have, because Jesus offers all of that to us.
Right.
It seems to me that Frank's put his finger right on it, that the gospel's free. It's the gift of God to anybody who will believe. So we're not trying to say you can't speak out, but we're trying to say there is darkness and there is light. And in the gospel, there's freedom that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. So, yes, let's have a free marketplace. Let's have the right to speak out for what we believe and speak against what we think is untrue. But I don't want to cancel anybody in that sense, and I don't want anybody to cancel me. Seems like that's the fair way to play it.
Sounds like free speech, which is...
Sounds like America.
Right. Sounds like the First Amendment of the Constitution, which our founding fathers came up with.
Yeah.
Right? Because they knew that in order for a country to flourish, freedom is the best way to go. And if people have bad ideas, even terrible ideas, then... let them speak, and we'll find out.
Yeah, and I think this really reveals how bad the ideas are of the left, because they themselves know that conservative thought and ideas cannot get out there, mm-hmm. because they're actually very competitive to what they're saying.
Yes,
and so thus they squash it. But the our viewpoint, the Christian viewpoint, is that the good and the bad ideas should be able to be heard, and then let the public decide which ideas are best.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what Paul did there on Mars Hill, Frank?
Yes, he did. And, of course, Jesus said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." And so I don't want to be canceled because I have an opinion that differs from the culture. So, and I don't, I shouldn't want to cancel other people if they have an opinion different than me. You know what's other, you know what is also interesting about this, and I want to see what you guys think about this. It seems to me today we are more concerned about what people say than what they do. Do you notice that? Mm. I mean, imagine if Mother Teresa was alive today and put out a tweet that the left didn't agree with. They would try and cancel her, despite the fact that she has been serving the poor for her entire life in India, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's odd. That,
okay, let me ask you this then.
Yeah,
I have canceled Nike. Mm-hmm. Okay, because they supported Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick, and they honored him as a brave man. Well, he is against America. I mean, he's a secular America hater. If you listen to him, Colin Kaepernick isn't just leading the kneeling of the national anthem for a day or two in protest of police brutalities, even though that's a myth. I'm talking about a massive problem. There are instances here and there of police brutality. We know those. We have the trial going on now.
It's not systemic.
No, not systemic. But so I just said, as millions of people said, you know what? I'm not buying Nike product right now. And I don't make that a test for people to come over to my house or, you know, for me to talk to people. People may feel differently than I do. But is that different? I don't want Nike to not be able to speak, or Colin Kaepernick not to be able to speak. But I'm just simply saying I'm just not going to support that. Is that different?
No, I don't. I think it is different because you're not saying that Colin Kaepernick or Nike should be put out of business.
Right.
You're just saying I'm not going to support Nike. Nike has the perfect right to say what they want and sell what they want, and I'm going to be for that.
Okay, that's
but
different.
But me personally, I'm not going to support that. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not saying Nike shouldn't be able to do business. I'm not saying that Colin Kaepernick shouldn't be able to speak as much as I detest what he's saying. So, but the left takes that a step further, don't they? Not all of them, not all people on the left. But what we're talking about canceling, they would say, no, Wildman and American Family Radio, or Ray, or you, Frank, or whoever, their platform needs to be shut down. They don't need to be able to communicate or speak or participate in the public square. That's the difference, right?
Yes, and there's one other difference that I think is extremely important. The standard by which people are canceling one another from the left is not the standard of Jesus, right? In fact, he said, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Paul said that, right? And he also told us, this is what Jesus said. He said it's not that what goes into a people that defiles them, but what comes out of a people or a person that defiles them. So he mentioned sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils, Jesus said, come from inside and defile a person. Now, the problem is many of the evils that Jesus mentioned are supported by the cancel culture. Sexual immorality, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. These are all things supported by the cancel culture. They will slander you if you have a different opinion than theirs. So the standard by which they're canceling people is not the standard of Jesus.
I got to tell you, though, I think it's hilarious when the left cancels the left. This is going on, right?
Yeah.
This is going on. It's funny to watch. All right, Frank, what is your website?
Crossexamine.org. And this weekend, we're going to have the great Stephen C. Meyer on again, the guy who wrote the new book, Return of the God Hypothesis. We'll be having a part two of our discussion on the evidence for God from science.
All right, Frank. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Great being with you. God bless.
Hey, stay with us, folks. Coming back in a couple of minutes with more Today's Issues on AFR.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
Most people, when they think about marriage, they think self-centeredly. What this person can do for me, what they will mean to me, how they can make my life.
Man, it ain't about you, Chief.
Not if you endeavor to be kingdom citizen.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to watch In His Image.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is available now for free viewing. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. The head of the CDC went off script and lost her composure during a White House press briefing yesterday. Rochelle Walensky said she had a feeling of impending doom, warning Americans that unless they continue to wear face coverings and practice social distancing, the apocalypse would be upon us. Meanwhile, Dr. Anthony Fauci says American children should wear face masks if they go to the playground, and California's health department says it's still not safe for students to return to the classroom. Now, this is all fascinating because illegal alien children are allowed to play without wearing any face coverings. And news reports indicate American teachers are providing in-person instruction for the illegals. One set of rules for Americans, another set for the illegals. We gave up our civil liberties. We shut down our schools and our businesses. We closed our churches. And for what? If the China virus really is as dangerous as the government's been telling us, why aren't the illegals following the same rules the rest of us have to follow? I'm Todd Starnes.
You're listening to American Family Radio. Here's a thought from Scripture. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Tim here with Walker and Fred. Hey, we've got just a handful of seats left on our spiritual heritage tours this year. And if you were going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on one trip, and then we're going to D.C. and Mount Vernon, George Washington's Mount Vernon, on another trip. So if you're tired of sitting around the house and you want to get out and do something, have some fun, and enjoy some good fellowship, and learn a lot about our Christian heritage, this is the tour or tours for you. We're going to go in June. We're going to go in September. And as I say, we just got like a handful of seats left. So if you want to read all about it, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's the website, spiritualheritagetours.com, and read all about our tours. And Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation is a historian, and he's coming along on all these tours. And he'll be speaking, talking, answering questions, and it just makes it a unique travel experience. In that regard, we're not just seeing the sites, but we're learning all about the history, the people, the places, the times and events that made America exceptional in world history. So we'll look forward to seeing you if you can join us on one of these trips, spiritualheritagetours.com. Well, Students for Life is a national organization, and they have outreaches on a lot of college campuses. and high school campuses too, I believe. And one of their folks who works with them is Autumn Lindsay. Autumn is on the phone with us now from the state of Washington. Hi, Autumn.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me on today.
Thank you for being on with us. I'm Tim. First of all, you want to tell us what's happening in your state. You got kind of a breaking story to talk about, but before we do, would you tell us what you do for Students of Life, and was I correct on you guys are on college and high school campuses?
Yes, absolutely. So Students of Life is actually on middle school, high school, and college campuses. Primarily, most of our groups are college campus groups, but we do kind of do it all. The mission of Students for Life really is to change the culture on campuses, to create conversations and change minds and hearts on the issue of abortion and create a culture of life. So they're really the boots on the ground. And it's really amazing to see just, you know, these student-led groups making such a difference on their campuses. I am in Washington State. The headquarters of Students for Life is actually in Fredericksburg, Virginia. So I work remotely from home and I do a few different things, mostly, you know, creating content, doing videos, speaking at events to share the pro-life message, and then things like this, you know, when things are happening in Washington State, to be on top of it and to talk about it and to address it and call on other pro-lifers to help take action.
Washington State is a very liberal place, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know it and you live it. I mean, so go ahead and talk about that. Why it's
yeah. I think the moment we really realized how liberal Bellingham, Washington is where we're located at, is we have hosted something called 40 Days for Life, and it's a 40-day long prayer vigil outside of Planned Parenthood that they do twice a year. So this is our third time doing a prayer vigil there, and it's unbelievable what happens to us. I mean, in the 40 days, we have gotten egged, punched in the face, our cars have been keyed, some of our volunteers have got milk poured all over them, soda, water, I mean, unbelievable. People will come and protest us, even though we're standing out there and praying for Planned Parenthood, flipped off, screamed at. It's really quite unbelievable just to see the hatred towards us from our community for standing outside of the sidewalk.
What are you doing to provoke all this anger and violence?
Standing there with peaceful signs and praying.
Right.
It's crazy. I mean, that's the reality, is you stand there quietly with your head down praying for God to end abortion. And, you know, you look up to people that are just ready to come and attack you, which is interesting because, right, that's the side of tolerance and love and acceptance, except for when it comes to us, it seems like that's when they draw the line of, oh, but not you, right? You deserve to be harassed is kind of the message that we feel coming to us.
Okay, I've got a story here from Students for Life with your picture on it, and it says the chief of staff at this Catholic hospital is a Planned Parenthood abortionist. I had to read this headline and this article three times to believe it.
Right.
And this is something that's taking place in your state. And talk about this. What is this story about?
Yeah. So the reason that we kind of figured this out, obviously, it's at the Planned Parenthood that is local to us, so in Bellingham, Washington. So we're there constantly. And part of the mission is to pray for those who are working inside of Planned Parenthood, pray that God captivates their heart and pulls them out of there and opens other opportunities so that they don't have to be working inside of Planned Parenthood. So one of the things we do is we try to figure out, you know, who the abortionists are and who the workers are inside of the facility. So one of our volunteers had mentioned that he knows the abortionist at our local Planned Parenthood because he's also an OB at a birthing center. And that sentence alone was enough to cause us to start researching, because that makes no sense, that somebody who is committing abortions and killing humans is also going to another facility and giving birth and helping people birth babies. So that's kind of what caused us to dive in and to say, okay, we need to figure out really what's going on here. We almost couldn't believe it, right? It's shocking to hear that. And so we started calling Planned Parenthood and figuring it out. And we realized that not only does she work at a medical facility, a Catholic medical center, but she's also the chief of staff. So this woman is running, essentially, this Catholic hospital, and on her days off, she's going to Planned Parenthood and committing abortions. And I think most people would be able to see where the issue is in that, that that's not okay. And it makes no sense. It was really hard to believe.
Okay, a couple ways you can read about this, folks, and especially if you live in the state of Washington, because our guest, Autumn, has an action you can take. Autumn Lindsay is our guest from Students for Life in Bellingham, Washington. It's a national organization, but this is going on where she lives. And there's the story that we're discussing is on our Facebook page. Today's Issues, you can link there to our Facebook page, on our Facebook page. Also, the story and a video is available at your website. What is your website, Autumn?
So the video that we have posted is available at Students for Life. So if you want to go to the Students for Life Facebook page, we have a blog as well as a video of me explaining more in depth. There's a few things happening within this. Another one was that we called the Planned Parenthood and posed as a 14-year-old girl.
Now you said, you called what Planned Parenthood?
The local one, the Bellingham one. So okay. This is the one that Anna Dowling, the woman we're talking about, the abortionist who also works at the Catholic Medical Center, she's the primary abortionist there. So we called this Planned Parenthood, and we posed as a 14-year-old girl and said, you know, I'm pregnant, I need an abortion, but my partner is over the age of 18 and my parents don't know, and I don't want them to find out. What can I do? And the Planned Parenthood employee at the Planned Parenthood that we stand outside of almost every day said, just don't disclose that information during your appointment, because if you do, we will have to report it. So Planned Parenthood is advising 14-year-old girls to not report when a man over the age of 18 gets them pregnant and they're seeking an abortion. So just the deception and the evil that's happening behind those walls is really appalling, and we need to take action, you know, as Christians and as people who are pro-life. And so, you know, I know that a lot of people listening today aren't from Washington, but we would ask that you would help us in this, to demand that something happens, that the CEO of this medical center is required to make a statement or do something about it, because this is a Catholic medical center.
Yeah, and Catholic, having an abortion. Catholic medical, Catholic, what's the name of the
exactly.
medical center?
Yes, and so this goes against their views as a Catholic medical center. You know, they're supposed to not associate with abortion at all. They don't perform abortions at this medical center. The fact that their chief of staff is an abortionist is quite appalling, and something needs to happen.
Go ahead.
Autumn, it's Fred Jackson here. I'm familiar with Bellingham. I lived just up the road, the I-5 in Vancouver, B.C. for 10 years. We went down to Bellingham all the time. Bellingham is not a big city.
No, it's
what
not.
What I find shocking is that a hospital in your town, in a small town like Bellingham, would hire someone who is a key player in the local abortion clinic.
Right.
I mean, it's just, when I hire people, I do a background check.
Right.
I figure out, okay, where have you worked in the mm-hmm. past? I want to see your resume. So I just find it so hard to believe that the hospital officials you talked to were not aware that Dr.
Right. Well,
Dowling works at the Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a hold of the CEO of Peace Health, which is the medical center. So his name is Charles Prosper, and he actually oversees the Northwest region. So somehow, I mean, really miraculously, we got a hold of him within one day, you know, the CEO of this giant medical facility. And, you know, we said, do you support abortion? You know, is it a Catholic medical center? He said, yes, no, we don't associate with abortion. We said, well, then why is your chief of staff an abortionist? And he really had no idea what to say. You know, he said that he wasn't even aware of it. And that in and of itself seems like an issue, that they're not aware that their chief of staff is also the abortionist at she actually works at three Planned Parenthoods. So the one in Bellingham, one in Mount Vernon, and then she oversees a third Planned Parenthood facility. So she is heavily involved.
Sounds like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde type deal, because
it's really, that's the exact feeling that we got, you know, when we heard that she's delivering babies and, you know, we had people in our community that said, she delivered my babies and I loved her. She was so compassionate. She was so caring. She was amazing. And then, you know, on the other side of it, I mean, you're right. It's a total Jekyll and Hyde situation where then she's now going to one of the darkest places on this earth, a Planned Parenthood, and committing abortions.
So how can, again, how can folks find out about this, where they can read more about this?
Yes. So the blog post, I wrote up a blog post with the information that's on the Students for Life blog. I think you also mentioned that you have a link to that on your guys' Facebook page. So you can go ahead and check that out. We also have a video that's talking a little bit more in depth about, you know, what we talked about today on the Students for Life Facebook. But we also have an action item. So if you go to nocatholicabortions.com, that will bring you to a page to where you can take action. We've essentially created a platform where you can get a hold of the hospital and demand action. We have a script for you, so you fill out your information.
Good.
It just takes a few minutes, and then you can call them and leave a message. And then the purpose is really to unite and to call action and to put pressure on them so that Charles Prosper addresses this, you know, especially if he was unaware that she's
an
abortionist. He is the CEO of the Peace Health Center. So that's really who we're trying to contact to say, you know, something needs to be done. And if he didn't know she was an abortionist, well, he does now. And if they're a Catholic medical center, then, you know, something needs to be done about this. So even if you're not a Washington State resident, that's fine. We would love, love, love your help in taking action. And
one more time, how to get to that page where the action point is.
Yeah, so if you go to nocatholicabortions.com.
Abortions or abortion?
Abortions.
Nocatholicabortions.com.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Autumn, for your courage and your leadership here. And we appreciate Students for Life. And keep us posted.
Yes, we'll do. I appreciate all of your guys' support over the past few years in my pro-life journey. I remember being on your show, you know, way back when I first dived. So I appreciate your guys' continued support and having me on the show.
Absolutely. Okay, Autumn, take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
That's Autumn. Lindsay, I know her parents well.
Yeah.
From the Bellingham area. You lived in? So
Just north of Bellingham, I think, is where you said she's from.
Tell you, it's one thing to take a stand for life in a red state.
Yeah.
Ray, it's another thing to take a stand for life in a deep blue state, right?
You end up, you have to take your lumps, sometimes literally, as she said. The things they say, the things they throw at you. She said that they'd poured milk on somebody. I mean, bizarre things in there, flipping them off and all of that. God bless her and all of the associates. And by the way, I thought Autumn was very well spoken. She just represented herself very well. It makes you wonder too, is it really credible to believe that at this Catholic hospital, nobody looked into this woman's background? How do you become chief of staff? That's a really big position, Fred.
I don't know. I'm amazed by that. I mean, it's kind of step one in hiring. Where have you worked?
Right.
Where did
What's
you get
your
resume? Experience? What's on your resume? And it's a head shaker.
Yeah.
How does this happen?
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. It's encouraging to hear from a young lady who's taking a stand. There are a lot of them. Don't get a lot of notoriety, but there are a lot of Christian young people across America who are living righteous lives and trying to influence our culture for Christ and taking a stand. And so we're very proud of Autumn. All right, Fred, next story.
Well, speaking of stories that may shake your head, that's our theme today. Stories that make your head shake and wonder, how can this happen? Well, you know, the Biden administration has been championing the vaccines. They kind of been on the coattails of former President Trump, who really drove the program forward. But the Biden administration has been telling us, you know, get out there, get vaccine. I think they're vaccinating 3 million people a day now. And that's supposed to protect you from the virus. So things are getting better. In fact, the data we're getting from states like Texas and Florida, Things are getting much better.
And Michigan, too.
And Michigan, yeah. Even after opening things up. All right? So those are the facts. Well, yesterday, statements being made by the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, and President Biden himself may make your head shake. Yesterday, the CDC director, and this is going to be cut number six, Brent, Rochelle Walensky, talked about she has a feeling of impending doom in our country because she really feels that COVID is coming back with a vengeance. Have a listen.
I'm going to pause here. I'm going to lose the script, and I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom. We have so much to look forward to, so much promise and potential of where we are, and so much reason for hope. But right now, I'm scared.
And not to be outdone, because President Joe Biden was at the same announcement, and he said, you know what? I think all local governments, state governments across the country need to reinstate mask mandates right now or risk more deaths. Cut number four.
I'm reiterating my call for every governor, mayor, and local leader to maintain and reinstate the mask mandate. Please, this is not politics. Reinstate the mandate if you let it down. And business should require masks as well. The failure to take this virus seriously, precisely what got us in this mess in the first place, risks more cases and more deaths. Look, as I do my part to accelerate the vaccine distribution and vaccinations, I need the American people to do their part as well. Mask up. Mask up. It's a patriotic duty.
I mean, President Biden is slurring his words. More and more and more. Have y'all noticed this?
Yeah. Yeah. Every day.
Is that, huh? That's concerning. Mm. Up to me. I mean, I understand he got his point across. Mm. You know, it wasn't that he was incoherent. It's just that, you notice this, Ray? He's just slurring his words like a guy who's had three beers.
Yeah, only, you know, Tim, I don't think it's the beer, right?
No.
I mean, that there's something. The neurons aren't firing. They're not coming together. Synapses, whatever happens in the brain that's supposed to happen that gives you clear communication, that's just that's pretty difficult to listen
to.
And
it's getting worse.
Yeah.
Okay, but the point he's making here is that, Fred, what? We need to
– Well, the point
is – the CDC lady, what was her name?
She is Dr. Walensky.
And she's –
Rochelle Walensky.
She said, what was the expression she used?
She has this feeling of impending doom.
Impending doom.
That we're going back to where we were 12 months ago.
Yeah. Why does she have this feeling of impending doom?
Well, you Americans, you're beginning to have life as normal again, and we can't have that. You must go back, as President Biden said, to wearing those masks everywhere you go.
But are there signs of impending doom, Walker?
No.
Not that I'm aware of.
Ray, have you seen signs? What is she talking about?
Look, the impending doom is that Americans are moving toward freedom. They've about had it, right? Yeah. That's the impending doom that she's talking about. Look, Fred, if they are vaccinating, 3 million people a day,
yes.
Right?
That's what the Biden administration boasts.
This is double
They're
speak.
Boasting.
This is double speak for them. Go ahead, Ray.
You'd have 100 million a month, give or take, right? In 3 months, you'd have almost the whole country. Where is the impending doom if the vaccination works as well as you say?
Well, here's the thing. Follow the science. Let's follow the science. Very interesting article, Heritage Foundation. Amy Anderson, she is in the medical field. She's a fellow there. Listen to what she has to say. Want to follow the science? Let's follow the science. A recent report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which Dr. Lewinsky heads, apparently, on mask mandates indicates the impact isn't significant compared with areas without such a mandate. With 2,123 counties out of 3,142 U.S. counties employing a mandate from March through December last year, 2020, mask mandates accounted for a decrease of less than 2% in the number of COVID-19 cases and deaths. Less than 2%.
Who said this?
This is a writer with Heritage Foundation Today, Amy Anderson, She is a registered nurse.
Okay, and she's getting her statistics from the CDC?
The Centers for Disease Control. She's following the science.
Yeah. Walker. You know, it's almost as if Joe Biden and his administration don't want to move on from the pandemic. Because if you look at the numbers and you look at reality, the reality is that COVID's virtually gone. I mean, raise your hand if you know somebody who has COVID.
Right now, you mean?
Yeah. Currently. Nobody.
January and February, it was raging.
No, I'm talking about now.
Okay.
Now, COVID is virtually gone. We have vaccinations, over 100 million vaccinations being given out weekly. And, or maybe it's a million weekly, but nonetheless.
A million weekly.
Millions are being vaccinated across the country. Millions more will be vaccinated. The numbers, statistically speaking, are virtually gone. Hospitalizations have dropped drastically. You have entire states where on any given day, it's double digits. People getting infected is double digits. 12, 15, 30 people being
plus they're getting over it. I mean, it's not... Now, any loss of life is tragic and sad, and we grieve, right?
Right.
But you're talking about a death rate from COVID of like 0.3, isn't it? Something like this?
Yeah.
It's like minuscule, right?
Most of the people who've died of COVID, and I know there are exceptions, but so many of them had those, comorbidities. They had the underlying issues in COVID, just COVID created the perfect storm, and then they were gone.
Right. So Fred, this impending doom that this CDC lady expressed, and now President Biden saying the same thing.
Here's the thing. I want to key in on something President Biden said. He denied that this is about politics. I do not believe the president.
No, this is 100% about politics.
This is politics.
If there is no control.
Yeah,
if there is no more COVID and the COVID panic, the panic porn that they've been doing, if there is no more of that, then there's no more stimulus 5.0 where we spend $2 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more forcing churches to close down. There's no more telling small businesses they can't open. All that's gone if COVID is gone. So we got to keep COVID alive.
Now, we just had Texas and Texas and Mississippi announced they were going back to business as usual before the pandemic, basically open.
Mm-hmm.
And the president called them Neanderthal.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Called us
Neanderthals.
Mm-hmm.
And now the evidence is bearing out that these states and other states are on the decrease.
That's right.
In terms of numbers of
COVID. The Neanderthals were right.
Why didn't he cite that evidence?
Right.
You know what? And who knows what the COVID, it may be around 100 years from now. I don't know. It's going to go and come and maybe like the flu. Mm-hmm. You know, it's here and it is gone and it flares up over here and it goes back down over here. But these Democrats that want you to keep living in fear forever and over something that quite frankly, as I mentioned, the death rate is just tiny, tiny, tiny. Doesn't affect children. Fauci saying go out there and have your kid mask up on the playground.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect children. It doesn't affect young people at all, hardly.
Yeah, and this goes to our point that they will drag this on as long as they can.
Yes.
Because if we can't relax things now and open things up now when the cases are virtually gone, then we never will be able to.
Well, and the other thing that's coming, vaccine passports. Watch out for that, folks.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Not in Florida.
No, no.
Governor DeSantis said, not going to happen here. We're not going to have any, what do you call it? Passport.
Vaccination
passport. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.